Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Well, we're going to be starting a series that's just going to go over the next month about the cutting edge. And it's going to be about innovation. It's going to be about sharpening your axe. It's going to be about dreams and how dreams come true and resourcing dreams so that the dream actually lands. Because I don't know about you, but if you're going to start a new year, you don't want to start a new year going back to how it was in the last year. You want to start off the way that you mean to go forward so that this new year has a fresh start, a new beginning. There's new things in place. There's new hopes and there's new dreams. At least that's how I want to start a new year, with new things taking place. So that's why we're starting this series, and it's gonna help you over the next few weeks to resource your dreams, the improvements that you want to make in your life. Amen. So you ready? I'm gonna pray. If you want to help me out, please do. Father, we come before you this morning. We know that you are good. No matter what's happening around us, you are good. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing, even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning and thoughts and intents of our hearts. Let your Word do that today. But Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you would open us to the new things that you have for us every single day. Lord, we love you today. Confirm your Word today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Going to be reading one verse, reading it from the New Living Translation. And it says this, book of Ecclesiastes, it will come up on the screen, but don't be lazy. If you've got a Bible, if you have an iPad, an iPod, an iPhone, an Android device, a smartphone, or any other type of device that has the Word of God on it, then read it for yourself. Sometimes helps. It says this, using a dull axe requires great strength. So sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. There's going to come a time in this life when you dare to dream. I don't know about you, but sometimes we dare to dream. Other times we just go with the flow, right? We just get on with our life is and just try and survive. But there comes a point in life, there comes different times in your life when you actually dare to go beyond survival, and you have this thing that rises up in you that I want to thrive, not just survive. Am I talking to anyone? Sometimes there comes that point. Sometimes it comes at this time of year because we have resolutions and, you know, revolutions and whatever it is that takes place, and we think it's a new year, new start, I'm going to try again, and you dare to dream. When it gets up to November, you're falling asleep again. But then January, you dare to dream. And you dream about improvement in your future. Amen? Maybe you've done that before, and the older you get, the more you've probably done it. And you've done it before, but the dream and the reality that you're facing, the dream you had and the reality you're facing don't seem to be matching up. Amen? You've been told by people like me that dreams can come true. You've listened to Walt Disney. You've watched a few Disney movies. Dreams can come true. You've heard The Voice. Then pastors and preachers and people of faith get up and say, it's going to happen, have faith, God can take you forward, transform your life, set you free, make it good. And you're like, yeah, all right. One day, maybe for you. And you bury your hope in a tired shrug. Has that ever happened to anyone? And you're like, yeah, nice, maybe once. But now I'm a little bit more seasoned. No, you're cynical. That's a Christian word for cynical. Praise the Lord. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Some of your dreams were just about to come true. Did any of you see anything? Don't lie. All right. Then your dream did not become a reality. And so you just have a tired shrug. So if that's ever been your experience, and I know now it's all of your experience in this place, you sinners, then in this new series, we want to help give that dream some clearer definition and substance. Sometimes your hope grows dull, the dream gets hazy, you lose clarity, you lose focus, and you even begin to drift off into the realm of fantasy. This is too much. And the thing is that when hopes and dreams begin to fade and grow dull, you end up just wearing yourself out. You go through the motions. You just end up grafting and working. But there's no hope. There's nothing to look forward to. Because that's what hope is. And it's important that you understand that when your dreams fade and you start to fantasize, that dreams and fantasies are two different things. For our context, the definition of dream is a cherished aspiration, an ambition, or an ideal. Something positive, something you look forward to. A fantasy, there's several definitions, but this is the one that fits our context best, is the power or process of creating especially unrealistic or improbable mental images in response to psychological need. Where you fantasize. So for where we're going in this series, the word dream represents an improvement in your reality, and the word fantasy represents the replacement of your reality. Are you with me? A dream is an improvement of your reality. So you dream about certain things, but a fantasy is where you replace your reality with something that's a little bit weird and funky. For example, a fantasy might be that in 2018, you're going to become slim, fit, multimillionaire celebrity. That's a fantasy, man. Huh? Whereas a dream, as you becoming the best person you yourself can become in reality, with the result that you see practical improvement in areas of your life. That's a dream. The fantasy is you replace what's real. The dream is you improve it. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Huh? There's a term that describes the bridge between the now state and the future improved reality you can dream of. And it's a word you're going to hear a lot in these coming weeks. It's the word innovation. Everyone say innovation. Huh? Say it in a funky way. Innovation. But a generation. Innovation. Transformation. Start getting me on one. Huh? Technically, innovation is viewed as the application of better solutions that meet new requirements. So as you grow, you have new requirements. But sometimes what happens is that our requirements don't match up with the resource that we bring to bear to our requirements, and we stay the same, or we end up getting dragged down, falling behind, playing catch up, and living in survival mode. But when you have this thing called innovation, when you begin to innovate and you understand, then you come up with solutions for your requirements. Improvements start to happen. Are you with me right now? Huh? And an innovation, you have to understand, is not an invention. Oh, you're getting a lot of words right now, aren't you? Huh? A lot of words. A lot of people think that to have a dream, you've got to invent something new. But that's invention. Invention is coming up with something completely new. But innovation is more along the lines of improving what you already have. Are you with me? And there's a difference. It's great to be able to invent something. I wish I'd have invented the paperclip. Are you with me? Or the iPod. But Thomas Edison is an inventor. He invented the light bulb. Steve Jobs is an innovator. He took what was already there, the CD player, and he turned it into a digital music player. Are you with me? That was an innovation. The light bulb was an invention. Before it was oil lamps. Then it became electric lights, bulbs, etc. But the iPod became an iPhone. That was innovation. Become an iPad, just a bigger iPhone. Damien's got an iPad Pro. He's only a little guy. It looks like he might as well be carrying one of them ghetto blasters. Huh? It's like he's got an eye ghetto blaster. It might as well be. So if a fantasy is a definite no-no, and if a dream seems a bit papery and thin, then an innovation, being an innovator, I think is worth looking at. It's doable. I think that this year we got to start to innovate. This is a year of expansion and acceleration. It's a year of innovation. It's a year of improvement. It's a year of growth. It's a year of bigger and better and beyond. But how do we do that? How do we get there? Because it's nice speaking about dreams, but that's all a bit flimsy. So let's speak instead about innovation. Are you with me? Imagine for a minute the things in your life that could improve through a simple innovation. Taking what you've got and seeing it improve. Bringing a resource to bear. Connecting a dot between a need and a resource. And that resource might be a person. Might be a place, it might be a thing. And you connect those dots. And the next thing is there's improvement that comes about. Imagine a better solution for your requirements in life. Imagine the dream actually landing. What about spiritually? There's prayer and study and service to God and his people. How could they improve so that you can grow into enjoying the fulfillment that God has for your life? What about a new Bible study plan, a different time or expectation for prayer, being more available or focused? What about relationship improvements? They could be keys to your future happiness. So what innovations can bring change? The way you present yourself. You know, you might be a single man and you think no woman likes to look at you, but it's because you dress bad. You smell, don't clean your teeth. A little innovation in some areas of your personal hygiene. Huh? What about the people you connect with?
Well, I'm lonely.
Who do you connect with? No one. Well, a little innovation in where you go and the people you connect with and how you connect with other people might actually help you. It's an innovation. Are you with me? Sometimes we think an innovation means that we have to, you know, come up with some fuel-less technology or spacecraft or something, you know what I mean? New way of straightening hair. What about your work life and your income? Have you ever thought that your spiritual giving has an impact on your financial receiving? Little innovations that can take place. You're even in the right job or the right career. You've got all these qualifications and you're the tail instead of being the head. Or you've studied for this and you're working in that because you're in survival mode just to get a bit of money to pay the bills. But that survival mode is not going to take you forward into your full potential. Huh? Maybe you need to change your career or your job. Have you discovered the truth that promotion is linked to bringing a solution to someone else's problem? You want to be promoted? Be a problem solver. Guess what? People are going to start to notice you. They're going to start to notice who you are. And then they're going to come and they're going to bring you into a place where you're going to be better off. Amen? Be a problem solver. Problem solvers are highly valuable people. And that value can translate into a new role or an increased salary. Amen? You could start a business or help improve an existing one. Or even a ministry in the church. What about that? That you could come up with something new. An improvement of something that someone else has got. Are you with me right now? Huh? There's room for improvement everywhere you look. If you look through the lens of possibility and you see how you can match up a need with a resource, whether that be a plan or a process or a person, then this year can be a year of innovation. It can be a year of improvement. It can be a year of growth and expansion. Amen? Why not? Why can't this be the year that there's an improvement in your life? How many of you have survived for a few years? You've just got by for a few years. You know you're not reaching your peak. You know you're not at full potential. You know you're not running on all cylinders. You know you're not in the sweet spot, in the perfect zone, in your power spot. So why are you still there? All it takes is to think different, to look different, to believe different, and to be resourced differently. So this series is not to inspire you, it's to resource and equip you. Because by February, by the time that the prayer retreat comes, after we've had 21 days of prayer and fasting, then we have the prayer retreat, then we come into a new place. By then, man, there should be ideas birthed within your heart. There should be things clicking in your mind. There should be an improvement in your state. There should be no excuse that you can start to become everything that God created you to become. Transformed and renewed and re-envisioned and taking ground and walking like a boss. Come on now. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some keys, seven keys that we're going to be looking at to this idea of innovation. We're going to look at innovation that works. We're going to look at that today. Why some dreams never become a reality. Then we're going to look at innovation boundaries and guidelines about keeping your dream on track. We're going to look about innovation isn't always new. Looking at when improvement is better than invention. Innovation that needs others, building or becoming part of a dream team so you get the right people around you for the process that you're in. Innovation as an answer to a problem, about speaking about and looking at the value of your dream, the value of that improvement, how that can affect your life and others. Innovation when it isn't always right, knowing when change is necessary. Sometimes you don't have to innovate. There's a story about Coca-Cola that several years ago, they came out with a new formula. And they innovated, we're going to come out with a new formula. And they came out with this new formula, and everyone hated it. And all their sales went down. And it's like, what on earth are you doing? Hello, donuts. Why? You've got a winning formula. That's not innovation. So a couple of months later, they lost millions and millions of dollars, and they went back to their original formula. They tried to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to invent yourself anew. Because I mean, if you know, some people think that instead of innovating, they've got to reinvent themselves. Hello. They've got to look better. They've got to be better. They've got to do better. They've got to dress different. They've got to do this. They've got to become different. But there's becoming different and there's becoming different. Huh? When I was growing up, my mum told me that you can, when you grow up, son, you can be anything that you want. Then when I grew up, I found out that that was actually identity fraud. It worked for a while, but then I got saved. Amen. And then lastly, innovation, the purpose of innovation. It should be bigger than yourself. Amen. It's not just about you just doing things for yourself. If you're saved, it's about you doing things for the benefit of everyone around you and the glory of God. So let's quickly have a look at the first one, innovation that works. Why some dreams never become reality. How many of you have ever had a dream? You've wanted to improve. You've had a dream. You've seen some type of innovative, you know, idea or something, but it's never actually worked its way through. Amen. You know why? Ask me why. Many dreams don't work simply because people don't work them. They have a dream and then they expect the dream angel to come down and put it in a reality. Huh? They expect God to do some magic trick, and the next thing, your dream and your prayer that you prayed on your knees actually gets up on its own legs and walks for itself. Are you with me? And that's not how it works. You have to put a little bit of graft into it. You got to get into the zone, man. I mean, even though there's a zone that you get into, huh? The dream has to land. Huh? Do you like that? The dream has to land. And there are only two zones that you can work in. The first zone that you can work in is your own zone. And you live and work in your own zone. I'm in my own zone. This is my zone. I'm in my own zone. And your own zone, as you're working from your own strength, your own ability, for your own agenda. That's the own zone. That's how many people in the world that are not spiritual, not reborn, not renewed, don't know Jesus, don't know the purpose for life, haven't got no clue about eternity, and are not in touch with that stuff, that's where they work. It's all about now. It's about me, and it's about now. It's about what I can get. It's about me getting mine. It's about me doing my thing. It's about me being pleased and blessed and having a good time, and maybe storing up a little bit for retirement so that when I'm old and wrinkled and messed up and got no energy left, then I can really start to enjoy myself. Huh? Working 60 hours a week for 40 years so that one day I'll have enough money to enjoy myself when I'm no longer able to do it. You're going to swim with dolphins. You can't even get up and walk to the... you know what I mean? Now I'm going to go on this Caribbean cruise. You're a wrinkled up looking old thing. You know what I mean? It's, come on. So that's your own zone. But then the second zone is God's grace zone. God's grace zone. This is where you're empowered by him for his will and purpose. This is where we want to work. Philippians chapter 2 verses 12 and 13 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The New Living Translation puts it like this: work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. But you'll notice in both of those different translations, there is one key word, and it is work. What? In grace? Work and grace, surely they don't mix. Of course they mix. You work in the grace zone from the grace zone. You don't work for the grace zone. Your work don't get you in the grace zone. Are you with me? God puts you in the grace zone. But when you're in the grace zone, you have to work. There's works that you have to do. You don't work to earn anything. Dallas Willard, an author, he said this. He said, grace is not without effort. It is just without earning. You can't earn anything from God, but you have to do a little bit of graft with what it is that he gives you. And that's the problem with a lot of people's dreams, is that they just don't work it. And often it's because Christians misunderstand the concept of grace, and they mix it up with either fatalism, which means that whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and God's done it, and it's all going to happen, and it's fatalistic, and inshallah, you know, God's will be done, and all that stuff. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That's fatalism. That's just taking responsibility, you know, away from yourself and saying, whatever's going to happen is happening. This is how I'm going to live, and I'm going to either live or die, and God's going to do his thing, and that's it. That's not grace. That's fatalism. Or they mix it up with mercy. And people mix up grace and mercy. And they think that because they're getting away with something and bolts of lightning are not coming down and sizzling them to a crisp, that they're getting away with it, that it must be grace. It must be God enabling me to sleep with that girl and, you know, do that thing and lie and thieve and steal and kill and murder and destroy and backbite. It must be God's grace allowing me to do that. So I'm just going to continue to do it. But the thing is, it's not grace. That's mercy. Difference between grace and mercy is with mercy, you don't get what you do deserve. And sometimes people can go on in a life of sin and go on in a life completely disobeying the word of God and not come under immediate judgment. And they think it's grace. Ain't grace, man. It's mercy. God's being merciful to you. He's giving you a chance to wake up, smell the coffee, repent, and get right. But the thing is, even though you haven't been immediately judged, you're not going to escape the consequences. Consequences are going to catch up with you one day. Something's going to happen because you're outside of God's grace. Grace is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Grace is that ability, that empowering, that power to become everything that God created you to become. And in that grace zone, and from that grace zone, God blesses us. God's grace is from the Greek New Testament word charis, and it is God's unmerited favor. It's kindness from God that we don't deserve. And there is nothing we've done, nor ever can do, to earn this favor. It is a gift from God. So achieving the results of your dreams takes innovation, and it takes effort. And looking at our opening scripture, that's us sharpening our axe. How many of you know, if you've got a blunt axe, it takes more strength to cut down a tree, right? If you've got no axe head, then all you've got is a big stick. That's like having a religious spirit. You've got no cutting edge. Or you've got a blunt cutting edge. But with this innovation, operating through the grace of God, you're sharpening your axe. You're getting things in place. Are you with me? I don't know about you, but this year I want to have a sharp axe. I want to be sharp. I want to be on the cutting edge. I want to be right where God wants me to be, right in the place, the sweet spot, the power spot, the zone. I mean, if you want to be in the zone, see an improvement, acceleration, expansion in your life, huh? And it's a possibility. But there's one more thing that we need for a successful outcome for our dreams. And sometimes we need it for innovation to even get started in the first place. And then we need it to remain on the right track, staying in the right track until we reach a successful inclusion. And we need wisdom. Wisdom. James, in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, says this. He says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in all that they do. So this is the thing. If you want a dream, not a fantasy, if you want to innovate and improve and see things take place within your life that is going to cause you to thrive and not just survive, then you need wisdom. Are you with me? You need to ask God, God, what is it? What is it? Where is it that I need to improve? Because you might think that you need to improve here, but in actual fact, you need to improve there. And that then will improve that. But for that, you need God's wisdom, man. Because how many of you have tried to do things in your own wisdom? And you just fluff it. Huh? You just fluff it, man. But we need God's wisdom. So if you don't know what to dream or what to do, ask God. God, give me wisdom. What is it this year that I need to put into place? What is it that I need to drop? What is it I need to get out of the way? What habits do I need to get rid of, and what habits do I need to develop? Ask God. Because his wisdom makes all the difference. He will show you where to shoot for, what improvements to make, what habits to form, what ones to break, and he'll keep you going until you see the successful outcome that you've dreamed of. Woo! Are you ready for this new season? You ready to be resourced? You ready to grow? You ready to develop? You ready to become everything that God created you to become? I'm seeing people rise up in this place. You're going to go out and start churches in other cities. You're going to become pastors and teachers and evangelists. You're going to be business owners, authors. You're going to pass your exams. You're going to get married to that perfect one, the perfect one. You're going to get Miss Right, not Mistake. You're going to get the man of power for the hour, not the man of power for the minute. Huh? God's going to increase certain things in your life. Why not? That's why he saved you. He delivered you to become a deliverer. He saved you to be salt and light in the world, to make a difference. He transformed you to go out and transform your environment and your situation, to glorify him. What gives him more glory than to see someone that has come from darkness, that he has transformed, that he has given wisdom, that he has graced to become light? What more glory can God have than seeing someone who's in places, speaking to business owners and leaders of places, that decades before was a drug addict on the floor, a no one, a nobody, in prison? What more glory does it get when you look at some of the women in our church and you know that they're beautiful women in this church? And you know that many of them come from drug addicted backgrounds, abuse, madness. They were tore up and messed up. What about the men? Men looking good, man, looking sharp. Huh? Knowing that they were messed up, didn't clean their teeth, sleeping their eyes. And not being able to tell the difference between an ex-drug addict and someone with a PhD. Or an ex-convict with a doctor or a teacher, not being able to tell the difference. Look around you can't tell the difference. You might be sitting next to someone that's done 10 years in prison, right? And you wouldn't know the glory of God. But How can we improve now? How can we innovate? What can we do to improve now? Why not, let's say in 2018, that we are going to go for it. That we're going to innovate. We're going to bring solutions. We're going to up our value. We're going to go beyond where it is that we are right now. We're not going to survive this year. We're going to thrive this year. So what's needed from us? We've heard about what God gives us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us grace. He gives us His favor. He gives us His access to Him. So what does He want from us? What do we need to do? Four things. You need to believe it's possible through the grace of God that you can see your life improve. You need to believe it's possible. Believing is the work, man. Disciples came to Jesus in John's gospel. They said, what must we do to do the work of God? He said, the work of God is this, believe in the one that He sent. Believe in God that He wants your life to improve. He wants you to go further. He wants you to do more. He wants you to become everything. That you're not going to live with regrets. You're going to live full and die empty. Don't know about you. I want to live full and die empty, man. Huh? Don't want to do it the other way around. So believe. Then you've got to decide to go for it. No one's going to make your decisions for you. You have to make your decision. Huh? God's not going to force you. He'll encourage you. He'll get around you. He'll do certain things. He'll equip you. He'll do that. But you have to decide. And then you have to commit. Commit yourself to do what's necessary. You have to lay down all the things that get in the way, the obstacles. You know, more often than not, the reason why we don't get all the things that God promises us is not because God's not good or God's not willing or God's not able. It's because we have too much stuff in the way. We're either in the wrong place at the wrong time, like the man who turns on a shower and goes and lays in bed and wonders why he's not getting wet. Huh? God's grace is being poured out. His power is being poured out, and you're somewhere else. Right? Commit. Commit. Remove the obstacles. Get rid of the sin that so easily entangles you and ensnares you and stops you running the race with endurance. Commit yourself to do what's necessary. And then the last thing is stay sharp until it's done. Stay sharp until it's done. You know the amount of people that I know that tell me, Pastor, I've got a dream to do this, and they start off really good, and at the end of the year, you look at them, you go, what happened? They go, oh, it was going well up until about September, October, and then I couldn't see it happening. Do you know how many people fail one step before they get their breakthrough? You know how many people stop one moment, one day, one move just before they get their successful conclusion? I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen over years. You're one step. You're normally only two or three steps away from your breakthrough at any one point in your life. If you've decided, if you've committed, if you've gone forward, if God's empowering you, if you're going for it. Don't quit. Don't give up. It's like chopping a tree, chopping a tree, chopping a tree, chopping a tree, and then walking away. Because someone else is just going to come up and go, and the tree's just going to fall down. And you don't want someone else to get your blessing, man. Huh? Let's stand to our feet. Just lift up your hands. Time's done. It's over. We've run out. I don't know about you, but we can innovate. We can improve. We can grow. We can go forward. This year, whatever it is that you've done, can it be done better? Does it need to be done better? Can it be done smoother? Can you become happier, more joyful? What about becoming relevant again? Huh? Relevance just means that you're meeting the right need at the right time. Irrelevant means that you met the right need once before. You was good back then, but you ain't the same now. You ain't doing it now. Relevance is all about now. It's not about what you look like, what you wear, what music you listen to. It's about what problems are you solving? What good are you doing immediately right now in the here and now? Where God dwells, where God lives, the I am now. Whatever you've done, it was great last year, but it's irrelevant now. What you're doing now is relevant. What about getting relevant again? Huh? Come on, lift up your hands, close your eyes. And I don't know about you, but I believe that there is an improvement. There are businesses in this place. Man. man, you've got some skills, you've got some expertise. It's just about putting the resources, learning how to manage it. It's learning how to focus, how to run that race. And we're going to learn about getting the right people around you, about the boundaries that you need, the guidance that you need, about what resource to add to what, about what is necessary when. We're going to resource this thing. We're going to equip this thing for the next month. We're not just going to tell you dream and then go away and it's like some mad thing and it just blows away when the hardship comes. No, we're going to equip you. We're going to do our best so that this church can become a church that is truly transformational. That is truly a church where people can come and it don't matter where they're from drug addiction, from poverty, from backgrounds that are messed up. Or you can come in and you can be well-formed, but you can come into the place and you know that it don't matter where you're at right now, that improvement is there, that there is growth, that there is expansion, that there is vision. Come on, lift up your hands and just take a couple of minutes and just ask the Lord. Maybe you got stuck. Maybe you just settled for what it is that you had. Maybe you think this is my lot in life. No, I want to tell you that if it ain't God's best, it ain't where you're meant to stay. God has a plan for your life. He has works for you to do. You are created as God's masterpiece in Christ Jesus to do good works that He prepared beforehand you should walk in. Ephesians 2:10. If you ain't walking in that perfect will of God, if you ain't being poured out like a drink offering, if you ain't seeing darkness being destroyed all around you, if you're not on the cutting edge of your life, if you're not, then it's time to get on that place. It's time to get in that groove. It's time to get in that zone. It's time to know it and own it. It's time to own your future. Lift up your hands and start to ask God, give me wisdom, Lord. Give me wisdom for this new season. Give me wisdom for this next step. Give me wisdom for this next stage. Give me wisdom, oh God. Give me wisdom. Speak to me, help me, show me. Show me the right place, the right person, the right... Show me, oh God, that place within my life that you want to increase. Hallelujah. You know why I know this is going to be good, this is going to work? It's because there's been so much opposition to this message. There's been so much opposition to try and stop me from preaching about this at this time in this place. So I know the enemy is mad. The enemy's scared. I know he don't want you to become everything that you've been created to become. He don't want God getting the glory in your life. He would rather that you be an also-ran, a contender, that you live with regret. He'd rather that you died full and wasted. I don't know about you, not me and my house, baby. We're going to live full. We're going to die empty. We're going to go for it. We're reaching forward. We're going to do what God wants us to do. We're going in His grace, empowered by Him. He's our engine. He's our energy. He's our cutting edge. He's the force. Jesus. And if a mountain is in your way, then you tell that mountain, get out of the way right now. If something's trying to stop you and it don't belong in your life or in the life of your family or friends, tell it right now, get out. Go. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Show me, tell me, help me. Come on, let's worship Lord.
To find out more about us, go to www.vomanchester.org and feel free to come and visit us every Sunday at our 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. services. See you soon.